So I wanted to talk to you guys about trying to bring technology to the community. And the interesting thing is they already knew a lot about it. So we're actually underestimating the capacity of the community to work. In fact, the word community is going to be another big thing. Like, who's community, right? So that's another issue, but I suppose that's for another talk. So I would like to acknowledge my team of people who work in Project TEACH, which stands for Teaching Equity to Advance Community Health. And it's fun. This is the partners, University of Colorado, specifically the Colorado School of Public Health, the Colorado AHACs. Who, are you all familiar with the AHACs? You know what the heck is an AHAC? Okay. And the Colorado Department of Public Health, the Office of Health Disparities, and the Colorado Health Foundation. So let's see. No, that doesn't work. That works. So the purpose of Project TEACH is to empower community-based organizations to develop data-driven, evidence-based projects addressing the needs of their community. So what we know is that there was a lot of money, especially when in Colorado a few years ago, we had the Amendment 35, the tobacco tax money, that diverted a lot of money into health for the communities. Well, the communities were then invited to submit grants of evidence-based, outcomes-evaluated projects, and they say, what's evidence-based? Which outcomes do you mean? Can't I just go there and do what I have been doing, and you now give me money, so I don't have to do it for free? So it's kind of, well, then maybe we should develop a common language. So the Project TEACH, let's see, yeah. What makes it a little bit unique and not just a workshop, another grant writing workshop, we have plenty of grant writing workshops, so we don't need any more, is that we do very individualized training. So we get 7 to 10 community-based organizations in each area of the state, so we go around the state doing that, and we have a group of faculty at the university that works with them individually to assess their skills, to provide skills they want to learn, and to be very honest, we are very fortunate to learn a lot from them. It's a very intense commitment. They spend at least 20 hours of one-on-one over 3 months. And using this process, we have trained about 55 organizations since July of 2008. So as I said, we spend first 1 or 2 hours with each organization learning everything we can and collecting that in a standardized fashion in a database. So now we have a very rich database where we know all the organizations, the projects they're interested in, the level of skills they have, and where they want to go. Then during this 1 or 2 hours, I introduce them to things that we take for granted, like Cancer Control Planet. Everybody familiar with Cancer Control Planet? So we show them how to use Cancer Control Planet, the community guide, all the things that we use every single day, right? And everything free. And when it's not free, that's why we have a collaboration with the AHACs, because the AHACs have access to PubMed and all the articles and all the subscriptions and can help community-based organizations get that. Based on what we learned during these 2 hours with each organization, we develop a 2-day workshop that's absolutely unique to the needs of those 10 organizations. So no workshop is ever the same. It's totally different every single time. And we talk about logic model development. Everybody familiar with logic models? Yeah, I used to hate logic models. I thought, why do I have to think in a box? I mean, I hate to think in a box. But then I realized that if you're trying to write down your idea and convince a funder about it, actually putting in a box was not such a bad idea after all. So we teach them how to put that in a box, how to obtain health data. We talk a ton about social determinants of health and how useless it is to educate people who don't have any place to go to get care. Or tell them to eat healthy when they can't buy anything healthy in the supermarket. We tell them what's evidence-based interventions and where to find evidence-based interventions. We talk about community engagement techniques. We don't tell them how to engage their community because they are the community. So we tell them, instead of telling that you just got a bunch of people, you talk to them, perhaps you could conduct a focus group. So we give a lot of fancy names for them and teach them how to make it more scientific. We talk about project evaluation. We are now developing a new module that we're going to start this Thursday. Healthcare access in the reformed system, and building and sustaining their CBOs, their community-based organizations. After that, they have consulting sessions with an assigned faculty to finish their project, review their grant, develop an evaluation, or whatever they feel like. So, people told me that this project was based on the old saying that give a man a fish and you feed him for a day, teach a man how to fish and you fed him for a lifetime. And I kind of thought, well, wait a second. If they don't have a fishing pole, that's not going to do anything, right? So, we decided that more important than just telling them about those things, telling them, it was, where do you find that? How do you get those things? Where are they? Right? So we went into the business of getting fishing poles. And that's what has to do with this presentation. So the tools must be, in our, the way we believe in Project Teach, placed in one location. So yeah, we all know the census data, the BRFSS data, the cancer registry data, the NHANES and all that kind of stuff, but they are all over the place, right? And it takes art to find the data you want, classified by the same age group, by the same definition of this or that. And so now, it has to be in one place, user-friendly, really. Right? Do I need to say more? No. Okay. Has to be locally relevant. It's wonderful. I love the Cancer Control Planet. I'm a big, big fan of the Cancer Control Planet. But there's very few locally relevant things. So it's big programs that quite often don't apply to community. Not all. Not all of them. By any means, we love the Cancer Control Planet, but we need something a little more locally relevant. Things that are working in that place. And it needs to be something that doesn't get old. Because I really don't need another resources directory that is done in UNOPS in 1992, and it's never updated after that. And so, or that you click, don't you hate that, when you click the link and takes you to, this page has been moved, and we don't know what it is anymore. So, something that's cool. So that's another example of how, you know, you can give the fishing pole, but if they have no place to fish, you know, so like our poor Prometheus there that it's fishing in the desert, that's not gonna help very much either. So we have to get the fishing pole, and we have to give them where to fish, so in a place that has fish in it, right? So that's some of the tools Project Teach created. This is our project website. Each one of those, and I would love that we could actually link to the internet here, but if not, you can go and visit the website, and I brought some handouts about that, so you feel free to get them. It has all our things on it. And each one of those things connects to a link for them to find evidence-based interventions, data, and so forth. One of the ones we are more proud of is this one. And this one was created in a partnership with the health department, our local health department, specifically their health statistics session, which is, I don't know, is anybody from Colorado? Oh, if you need help, just go and talk to the health statistics sessions. Allison Shoup, she's the only person who I can make partnerships in one phone call. Would you like to do this? Yeah, sure, let's do it. So, we did it. We wanted the health data for the community in major public health and major risk factors in one spot. So when people use this website, they click on this map and their county or their region pops out, and this is not live on the internet. They get this statistic which contains their region and their state. And in here, there will be a little map with the counties that compose that region, and they can click on that county, and then the table, let me see if I brought that. No, I didn't, but you have three columns. You would have one with the county, one with the region, one with the Colorado health data. And that basically goes through all the major risk factors, so obesity, overweight, nutrition, physical activity for little tiny babies, all the way to older folks, health insurance, all data on social determinants of health, including data from the Department of Education, was put in one single place for them to use to not only write their grants, but also to monitor what's going on and to detect needs for their community, right? Let's see. So there you go. That's by race and by county. Then some people don't like tables, right? Tables are indeed boring, right? So we decided, well, let's make some maps then. Let's make some maps with the data. So we produced maps with every single part of the data. So we have the distribution of the races. This is just some examples. The distribution of heart disease, people living in poverty. Wow, what a coincidence. The gray areas are always the same, aren't they? So we use the same philosophy as in the Unequal Causes book, movie, the video, the Unnatural Causes. The darkest shades represent bad stuff. The lighter shades represent not so bad stuff. So the darkest shades are always, regardless of what you look, always in the same counties. Isn't that interesting? Isn't that fantastic? So that's cancer. We now are developing, we just finished also, actually, this past week. Now, instead of stratifying by race, we're stratifying by socioeconomic status, which is interesting. I don't know if you notice in the healthcare reform, there is now a new mandate for us to collect data on race, gender, and disability, but there's nothing about socioeconomic status. Isn't that interesting? We're also working on a centralized catalog of locally relevant evidence-based interventions. We already have it. We are trying to make it more searchable, so trying to make it more technologically savvy without making it too hard for the community to use it on a you know, quick basis. And we also have a centralized catalog of locally relevant evaluation tools. They don't know that there are validated tools to measure certain outcomes like physical activity or nutrition or anything like that. So we provide them with a catalog of validated tools that they can use for those outcomes. So this is the resources list with all the links to documents. And just to finalize my presentation, what we learn in doing this, in trying to make tools available to the community, is that never underestimate the people's ability to use technology. They are way ahead of the game. You know, it's kind of it's not like you have to teach them how to use a computer. You don't have to do that. The second thing is do not settle for obsolete technology. Now, slow computers will make their life hard. So yeah, we do insist that they buy fast computers. And you can get for $300 one at Target. So we think it's a good investment, and we convince them that it is a good investment to go and buy a fast laptop to go around. And because we want these things to remain alive, we partner with existing organizations that will continue to use that. So the health department will continue to update that site even after Project Teach is gone. So we don't do anything just Project Teach. We get somebody, I have 3 minutes, and that's my last slide. So we do believe in not reinventing the wheel because it is bad. So we don't start anything from scratch. We go around asking, have you done this? Is anybody doing this? If the wheel exists, we are all for improving it, making it better. But if it doesn't exist, we don't wait for anybody. We create one. Okay. So that's all I wanted to talk to you about. And I'll be open to questions if there are any.
Round of applause, please. Again, questions of clarity. Questions, I didn't quite get what you meant by that. This is a chance to make sure we have common knowledge. We've been doing so, but if there's the same thing where folks came a little later, we should be willing to come a little closer to the front so we don't have to shout so high. So thanks, there's lovely seats right over here. Thank you. Questions? Could you introduce yourself as you make the question so we can build community?
Hi, I'm Kelly Cooper. I'm from the National Institute of Public Health in Mexico. And I was just wondering, what's an AI? Uh-huh.
What is an AI? Great opportunity. Can you take it, Angela?
Sure, I can take it. The AHEC stands for Area Health Education Centers. They were created by Congress a while ago. They are a national organization, even though each one of them, it's an autonomous organization. And they provide health education for health professionals in a specific region. And they have since then acquired other roles, including improving the number of people in minorities that reach the healthcare professions, increase the recruitment and retention of underrepresented populations in the healthcare professions. Yeah?
Who are you actually?
Hi, I'm Jenny Mullins, and I'm with the Southwest Public Health Leadership Institute at the University of Arizona. Thank you. Dr. Sawaya?
Angela. That's such a good question, and people ask me that. And actually, in this slide, I have some subdivision of what we do. About a third of them are local county health departments. Isn't that amazing? And that's why we got a HRSA grant to educate the public health workforce, because we are already doing that. So one third of our clients are public health departments, small ones. And the second type of clients is healthcare providers in general, so small clinics, small rural hospitals, that in general, not the big ones in the city. And that's also by design. We don't offer this to big people who have the resources to do that. So, and finally, very tiny community-based organizations of people who, I have a son with a disability. I decided to share my knowledge, so I made a 503C, and I help people do that in a national grants. So that's basically our clients.